It's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vedati.
Yeah.
Sitting here in Central Texas, Round Rock to be exact. Yesterday we went on a tour of all the different shaped rocks. We saw a triangular rock, a round rock, and an Afghanistan shaped rock.
What's an Afghanistan? Oh, it's like the country of Afghanistan?
It looked like Afghanistan.
Because the rocks in Afghanistan pretty much look like the rocks in Wyoming. Afghanistan pretty much looks like Wyoming.
Although, from what Bill was saying, he's saying some parts of it look like Montana.
Oh, so it's like Wyoming with trees and water?
Yeah,
you know,
I guess so.
Wyoming has the highest per capita of any U.S. state of people that join the military. Maybe it's because they look at pictures of Afghanistan and feel at home.
Maybe. I always thought it was because of the large percentage of Indian population, Native American, I guess, population there, which they also are the highest ethnic group that joins the military per capita is
Man.
Native Americans.
Yeah, I think they killed off all the ones that had a lot of fight against the government, and they did what's it called, where you do selective eugenics. They killed them in a eugenics program in the 1800s. And the only ones left are the ones – well, I wouldn't say the only ones left, but the ones left are, you know.
Well, I kind of feel like the ones who would be more prone to, I guess, accepting the new rules would be the ones who actually went to and stayed on the reservations. And the more independent-minded ones, it seems to me, would be the ones leaving, eventually assimilating into the rest of society. You know, it feels like in America everybody's got some Native American in them, so just sort of blending in, assimilating.
You know, here's a little teaching hospital thing about radio stations, about getting on radio and what an effort it is to do your own independent radio station, even when you're syndicated. I have to make all the calls to get us on stations, and it probably takes 150 hours of phone calls to get on one station, maybe more. And there's a station in Montana that I was talking to for a year, like, every 2 months. And, you know, and they were interested. They tell you if they're not. They're like, yeah, we're not interested in that. Or they're like, yeah, call back in 6 months. But this guy was like having me call every month. And then the past, he was having me call every week for the past 2 months. And he was like, yeah, I'm close to getting you on. I'm going to get both your shows on, Freedom Fiends and Michael Dean After Dark. And, this is the guy who said, when I first called him up and I said, we're libertarians, he said, well, who do you want to shoot, the Democrats or the Republicans? And I'm like, we don't want to shoot nobody, man. We're peaceful. Yeah. We're peaceful gun owners. We just want to shoot them with our verbal barbs, both of them. But I called him the other day because he said he was really close, like 2 weeks ago. He's like, yes, I'm going to get you on. Call me in a week. And then he didn't answer. And then I called back this week. And he said, I decided I'm changing the station format completely. It's going to be Native American talk and music. And I was like, and he's like, I'm getting rid of all my shows. And I'm like, well, I don't know. We hate the federal government. Maybe the Native Americans would like us. And he said, all the Native Americans I know love the federal government.
Right. That's where the paycheck comes from.
Yeah.
That and the state government.
Man,
so, yeah.
That's been basically the United States setup since day three, you know, back in the day, is conquer a people and then put them on welfare and come in and take their resources.
Well, I mean, think about what the surge was. The surge worked. Part of their counter insurgency tactics was just giving out bundles and bundles of money to everybody and saying, basically bribing them to stop shooting at certain other people. And they didn't know what was going on, who was shooting at who, what the different sides were. Let's just throw all of the money we stole from the American taxpayers at the problem, and then maybe it'll work. Of course, it didn't.
Yeah.
The Civil War there is still boiling over.
And it's instead of a cop on every corner, instead of a cockroach on every corner, it's an American soldier on every corner and a Halliburton oil pump rig in every park and field.
Well, now it's American puppet. Well, not even American puppet. The leader of Iraq now is friendly with the Iranians. But apparently a lot of people are saying he might be worse than Saddam. And he's got the majority behind him. He's a Shia. And Iraq is a Shia majority country, like 60%, 40%, I think. And he's not big on minority rights.
Is that Karzai or is there a new guy? I can't keep
up. No, Karzai is Afghanistan.
Karzai is a heroin addict. Have you heard that? That's a rumor.
Yeah, yeah, they call him a junkie because he's into junkie. Apparently, he just takes American suitcases full of money and spends it on smack. And,
well, doesn't his brother control a lot of the heroin trade in that country?
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Heroin makes people very manipulatable. Although it makes people very manipulatable when
if they're going to get heroin out of it.
But the thing is that's if you're controlling their supply. And well, I guess to an extent, I mean, if your brother owns the mafia, you probably have a supply. Although I don't know. I think that I've seen pictures of U.S. troops guarding
the poppy fields.
That's bizarre, yeah. Man.
Those are pretty popular. Question, and like, also the for charts.
Fighting for your freedom? No, guarding poppy field. Guarding the opium trade. Fields.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you see the charts too of opium production, or I guess poppy production, out of Afghanistan. They'd love to show these charts of pre-2001 invasion and post, and it's that hockey stick that Elcor likes to talk about. You know, it's just that shoots up and plateaus, and yay, now we've got so much poppy production out of Afghanistan. Whereas before, I mean, the Taliban wouldn't let you, and I don't think that's cool too. I don't think any government should control the trade of anything, any good.
The Taliban was the government. People don't realize that. Like, they mix it up with Al-Qaeda. Americans don't know the difference. The Taliban was the government.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of people don't know the difference even here in our own country. They don't make a distinction between what is the government, what is a nation, what are the people. So they don't know that here. How do we expect them to know it thousands and thousands of miles away?
But remember that thing I found in my basement that a previous tenant who'd been a soldier had left? It was it was moldy, so I threw it out. But it was the little, like, Tyranny for Dummies.
Oh, the cheat sheet, yeah. on the Iraq invasion.
And it did explain it. It's like, you know, after you go through basic training and you're about to go over there, they give you this thing to hold in your pocket that's basically like, well, since you're going to be killing these people, here's a little bit about them and how to tell them apart and the different factions.
Know your victim. Know your victim regulations.
Wonder if cops have that now. Wonder if they have one with, like, ANCAPs and libertarians on it.
Oh, I bet they do. I mean, there was the Fusion Center that had the Ron Paulians on the list of potential terrorists.
You know, the FBI has removed the link to the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, on their website. And people are conjecturing about it.
I was wondering that too. I just saw the headline. I didn't really read into it. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I think that the SPLC actually started as kind of a good idea. Basically, originally, they only tracked actual hate groups like the KKK. And then they kind of, in the 90s, they were like, well, but there's all these people that have guns and don't like the government who haven't done anything. Let's track them. And then it got to the point where they're just like tracking churches that don't like gays and and like saying Ron Paul is on their watch list, you know.
Well, they've somehow incorporated this false premise that being in opposition to the state is somehow hateful,
yeah,
which is completely backwards, because as we've said for months, maybe years, state speech is hate speech. So if you are a dissenter of the state, you probably, at least I would assume, would be more of a love-oriented person rather than a hate-oriented person. Because if you hate, you must hate the state.
Yeah, and I think what happened was some of those churches that they were going for got really upset and got some lawyers and were just going after them. And the FBI didn't want the heat. So basically they threw them under the bus. They said, you were useful idiots, SPLC. And we no longer condone you and give you buckets and truckloads and trainloads full of stolen money to sit around in your nice offices and type things and get us to do things.
Well, it's funny. One of the critiques of having a stateless society is, well, you would have all these large armed gangs fighting it out for dominance. And right now, we have the FBI going out after different government officials like Leland Yee, going after pseudo-government type agencies like the SPLC. We got the CIA fighting with Congress over spying and going after Dianne Feinstein's little minions there,
saying
that they spied on the
CIA.
Two
things really quick updates. One is, it came out what Leland Yee, the gun-grabbing California politician who has been disgraced.
Guns for Yee, not for thee.
Yeah, what he was charged with. He was buying machine guns and RPGs
from
a Filipino Muslim extremist group and selling them probably to the Chinese mafia. And that guy was a child psychologist by trade. Like, think of the children and buy guns and buy armaments of war from a Muslim extremist group and sell them to the Chinese mafia. That's what they're alleging. The other thing, what were the other people you mentioned? The horrible people?
The CIA?
Yeah. The yeah. Remember Mike Rogers, that guy that we talked about, the pro-CIA?
Oh, the one that says your privacy can't be violated if you don't know it's being violated.
Yeah, and he said that after he was caught putting toilet cams in the ladies' bathroom of his office.
Yes.
He now has his own talk radio show.
I guess I'll give anyone a talk radio show these days. Man.
Fortunately, though, and Ian Freeman and Michael Harrison have pointed this out. Well, I'm adding the fortunate.
Is he awful at it? I would hope he's
I don't
awful
know, but politicians
it.
Have almost a zero timeline of sticking to doing talk radio. They don't like it.
It's because, too much work for them.
Well, people call in and tell them what they think of them. They're not used to that.
They're used to surrounding themselves with yes men who tell them how and great they are and how they're heroes and how underpaid they are. Have you heard that one?
Yeah. What, talk about that.
Yeah, what's his name? Some Democrat. I think he was a Democrat, wasn't he? One of those two teams of losers. Basically saying, we're underpaid. Now, I think his salary is something like $178,000. Not one of those dollars he deserves or worked for in any legitimate sense. Just sucked up by the maw of the state and plopped into his lap for saying hateful things because state speech is hate speech. Give me his name, Michael, so we can make fun of this guy. What's his name?
Which guy? Oh, I don't know which politician that was. I just saw that in passing.
Does it really matter?
No.
Aren't they all the same?
It was a Democrat.
Okay.
I know that.
We'll call it that. Yeah.
It was not a fiscally responsible stealer of public money. It was not a Republican.
are any of them?
Well, I mean, the Republicans.
Are you
basically
making the argument that Republicans are?
I just go back to the argument of like Republicans talk like anarchists. They're like, I'm more small government than him.
But and they don't act like.
And if you talk about being really small government to the point where it drowns itself in the bathtub, like we do, they get upset. They're like, but, and their head explodes because they can't picture how things would work without government guns organizing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, how freedom oriented are you when you want subsidies for your favorite groups? You want corporate welfare and you want to restrict trade. That's not very free trade to have a drug war now, is it? And
no.
We'll have more fiends after we do some actual market work.
Libertarian cops coming up. Libertarian police squad.
LPD.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio worms.
Radio. It's live. That's how you know it's live. See, some people say, I really like that live sound. And what they mean is, I like to hear people making mistakes. And we do that every now and then, but it lets you know, man, this isn't canned. There's no laugh track. Although
there are sound effects.
Yeah, there are sound effects. Sometimes when we used to record it, if I didn't laugh at a specific joke,
it
would
move
some laughs over.
I had a folder of like 8 files, Nima laughs 1, Nima laughs 2, Nima, that I'd cut out from places you had laughed. It was like, I don't know, man. I'm editing it. I can make myself funnier if I want. And sometimes it was like you just didn't laugh at stuff. It was really funny, so I had to do that.
Yeah. Well, nobody's ever 100% awareness. It happens with both of us. Sometimes one of us will be looking up something else, trying to move on, and one of us will say a great line, and it'll just go under the radar.
And speaking of moving on, it's time for Libertarian Police Squad.
LPD. Okay, I was shooting heroin and reading The Fountainhead. Okay, I don't think that's going to work. I think we got to kill the sound effect.
You know, if they were really libertarian, they wouldn't be reading The Fountainhead. Oh, but we don't want to criticize it until we're done. Let's read it and then we'll do our critique.
Okay. This is from Tom O'Donnell at The New Yorker. It's a narrative, so I'll go ahead and read it. I was shooting heroin and reading The Fountainhead in the front seat of my privately owned police cruiser when a call came in. I put a quarter in the radio to activate it. It was the chief. Bad news, detective. We got a situation. What? Is the mayor trying to ban trans fats again? Worse. Somebody just stole $447 million worth of bitcoins. The heroin needle practically fell out of my arm. What kind of monster would do something like that? Bitcoins are the ultimate currency. Virtual, anonymous, stateless. They represent true economic freedom, not subject to arbitrary manipulation by any government. Do we have any leads? Not yet, but mark my words, we're going to figure out who did this, and we're going to take him down, provided someone pays us a fair market rate to do so. Easy, Chief, I said. Any rate the market offers is by definition fair. He laughed. That's the best you got, Likowski. That's why you're the best I got. Now you get out there and find those bitcoins. Don't worry, I said. I'm on it. I put a quarter in the siren. 10 minutes later, I was on the scene. It was a normal office building, strangled on all sides by public sidewalks. I hopped over them and went inside. Home Depot presents the police, I said, flashing my badge and my gun and a small picture of Ron Paul. Nobody move unless you want to. They didn't. Now, which of you punks is going to pay me to investigate this crime? No one spoke up. Come on, I said. Don't you all understand that the protection of private property is the foundation of all personal liberty? It didn't seem like they did. Seriously, guys, without a strong economic motivator, I'm just going to stand here and not solve this case. Cash is fine, but I prefer being paid in gold bullion or autographed Penn Jillette posters. Nothing. These people were stonewalling me. It almost seemed like they didn't care that a fortune in computer money invented to buy drugs was missing. I figured I could wait them out. I lit several cigarettes indoors. A pregnant lady coughed, and I told her that secondhand smoke is a myth. Just then, a man in glasses made a break for it. Subway, eat fresh and freeze, scumbag, I yelled. Too late, he was already out the front door. I went after him. Stop right there, I yelled as I ran. He was faster than me because I always try to avoid stepping on public sidewalks. Our country needs a private sidewalk voucher system. But thanks to the incestuous interplay between our corrupt federal government and the public sidewalk lobby, it'll never happen. I was losing him. Listen, I'll pay you to stop, I yelled. What would you consider an appropriate price for stopping? I'll offer you a 1/13 of an ounce of gold and a gently worn Bob Barr 08 extra long sleeve men's t-shirt. He turned. In his hand was a revolver that the Constitution said he had every right to own. He fired at me and missed. I pulled my own gun, put a quarter in it, and fired back. The bullet lodged in a USPS mailbox less than a foot from his head. I shot the mailbox again on purpose. all right, the man yelled, throwing down his weapon. I give up, cop. I confess. I took the bitcoins. Why'd you do it? I asked as I slapped on a pair of Oikos Greek Yogurt Presents handcuffs on the guy. Because I was afraid. Afraid? Afraid of an economic future free from the perilous meddling of central bankers. I'm a central banker. I wanted to cold cock the guy. Years ago, a central banker killed my partner. Instead, I shook my head. Let this be a message to all your central banker friends out on the street, I said. No matter how many bitcoins you steal, you'll never take away the dream of an open society based on the principles of personal and economic freedom. He nodded because he knew I was right. Then he swiped his credit card to pay me for arresting him.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I guess the good thing about this ridiculous attitude of libertarians, first of all, this thing is pretty funny. Second of all, I mean, it could have been written by a libertarian if they were really smart. Like, I could see Taryn Lupo writing this.
Yeah. It's kind of his style of humor. It's yeah. Very, very dry, but outrageous at the same time.
Yeah. But I guess the good thing about all this is that the haters at least have some mistaken but sometimes accurate understanding of libertarianism now, where before they were just like,
"What?" That's true. Yeah, they've somehow at least accepted that there are arguments instead of thinking we're all just racist white people who want to kill all brown people.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. We'll be back with more Freedom Fiends.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other competing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's BolaVPN at BolehVPN.net.
Okay. It's the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. Oh, yeah. Sorry. We're not the morning zoo crew.
Very morning zoo crew, both of us.
We're the Saturday zoo crew.
Boing.
Boing. All right.
You want to hear my angry? Yeah, that's a very morning zoo crew. You want to hear my angry drunk turkey noise? It's how I imitate people who just want to fight. So we saw turkeys in a picture in a yard. My wife, this is kind of weird and cool. My wife, now that we're going to Porkfest, she's been looking at real estate prices in New Hampshire.
Wow.
I know. Hell is frozen over. I'm not saying we're moving there. I'm saying she is looking at real estate prices in New Hampshire. And they're actually better than Wyoming.
Is she using the porcupine realtor?
Not yet, but we're not at that point.
Now he's the realtor Mark Warden.
Yeah. He's also the state rep Mark Warden. Yeah. They've been getting a lot of attention nationally, the Free State people, because they are really making a difference. I mean, there's like Mother Jones and Huffington Post and all sorts of national magazines have been like, look what these crazy libertarians are doing, and like interviewing local people who 3 years ago were like, oh, those silly libertarians, who are now like, I'm thinking of selling my house and moving to Massachusetts.
Wow. They're,
like, seriously, like they're really.
That's a double whammy. Not only does it open up another housing space, but it gets rid of a dissenter.
Yes. And speaking of political movements where you literally move somewhere, the founder of Free State Wyoming, Boston Tea Party, Kenneth Royce, is going to be the guest on the Freedom Fiends for all 2 hours next Saturday.
Wow.
The 12th. And that guy doesn't do interviews. And
no.
We've been pre-gaming that we're going to do this for 3 years. And the Freedom Fiends just passed 3 years, March 30th.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's a fiend trifecta.
We recently passed our 333rd episode. So someone said we're halfway to 666. That doesn't mean anything to me. I'm not scared of a number. I'm scared of people who put numbers on people and make them. You cannot buy healthcare without the number of the beast. That's what I don't like.
Yeah, yeah. It is the mark of the beast,
so,
isn't it?
We also got a winner for our contest to win a microphone.
We have a winner.
I believe her name is pronounced Brigid McDonough. I can't say it. BrigidMacDonough won the microphone. Mm-hmm. And Ben Stone and the Freedom Fiends shipped it out to her. And Ben Stone has raised $1,000. If you want to help him chip in, if you want to chip in more to help get him to Pork Fest in style. Remember, he's recovering from heart failure, so we don't want him just camping under a tree under a blanket. Go to badquaker.com. Now, we've been giving out a lot of these microphones, and you had a comment about someone using one. We've been giving them out and getting people to buy them. We're done giving them out. We've given out like 4 of them. But if you want to go to Michael Dean After Dark, which is michaelwdean.com, where you can Google Michael Dean After Dark. There's a link on the right sidebar that says, get the inexpensive, great microphone our co-hosts use. And what did you say about Mark from Canada calling in the other day?
Mark from Canada sounded great. When I first heard his voice, I think it was the Bill Buport episode from a few nights ago on Dad. And when I heard him talk, I was like, oh, wow, he sounds like the host and Michael and Bill are the guests. He was like, it was that good. Really great mic, I guess.
Yeah, if you want to improve liberty, get one of these mics for 50 or 60 bucks. Get a couple pop filters for it, little foam windscreens, even freezing it indoors, and set it up on USB. I'll even help you. You can send me an audio sample, and I'll give you some tips of what to do with your room or where to position your mic. And we want to improve liberty. And Michael Dean After Dark takes phone calls all night, every night. Freedom Fiends don't really take calls anymore because I only see Nima like the 4 hours a week we're on this show. So I don't want it interrupted by crappy sound and cell phones and people hijacking our conversation. Boy, that's not very nice. But you can hijack the conversation. You can call in on phone.
Five nights a week, man.
Yeah, five nights a week. And Free Talk Live also takes phone calls by Skype. So basically, you should stop listening to and never call in and don't support radio shows that don't take Skype until they all take Skype calls, I think. And you should tell them to take Skype. And that'll improve Liberty and improve the sound of Liberty because I can't listen to radio shows where it's cell phone call after cell phone call. They sound so horrible sometimes.
Yeah, they do. And I'm a big fan of the Scott Horton show. That's one of my favorite Liberty Media shows to listen to. But he's got like pro guests, like people who probably have a ton of money and are professional writers and this and that, or former CIA guys even. And they call in on phones and it's usually a landline. But still, once you're used to hearing somebody over Skype with one of those Audio Technicas or any good mic, it's like, I don't know, it's like going back down to dial up from fiber or something.
I'm going to send Scott Horton right now this article I wrote on getting the most out of your talk show guests that I wrote on Talkers Magazine, Help Your Remote Guests Shine. You know, somebody posted on somewhere that it was a screenshot from Talkers and it said, A Glimpse of LibPair. And it was an article, it was a teaser about an article about me and then a news piece about Glenn Beck right below, which I kind of dig. It's like, wow, man. It's like I'm in some magazine somewhere right above Glenn Beck. And the you know, not that I dig what he says, but that he is just a total rock
star.
He's that
big.
Of talk. Yeah. And somebody said, A Glimpse of LibPair, Michael W. Dean is helping remote guests shine, and Glenn Beck is being sued. Libertarian paradise.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yes. LibPair. Speaking of LibPair, we were making fun, or we weren't making fun yet,
cops.
But we were reading this Libertarian Police Department article from The New Yorker. We read it in the last segment, so if you're just joining us, go back to the archives on freedomfiends.com, click on the link for today's episode and listen to it. It's pretty funny, or you can go read it. It's at The New Yorker online on their blogs, or just Google Libertarian Police Department. Hilarious article, obviously critical of the concept of how libertarians would organize police defense in your local town or neighborhood. Basically, their joke or their point is that the police would be trying to get criminals to pay them to arrest them. Like, if I'm a cop and I'm chasing somebody, I'd have to ask him to write me a check so that I can put handcuffs on him before I throw him in the back of the cruiser. Like, how are you going to be paying for this? Cash, credit, or check? Or Bitcoin? Now, that's just silly, because if it's an actual crime, you'll have a victim. And if you have a victim, you're going to have people, the victim and the victim's families and the victim's friends, willing, or the victim's insurance agency or whatever kind of risk pool he's in, you'll have those people more than willing to pay for the police services.
Or just concerned citizens. I mean, you think about when something horrible happens, I don't know, there was –
like Haiti, like donations to earthquake.
Yeah, or a horrible crime happens. There was – Kitty Genesee, this woman in the 70s who was like beaten to death in front of 30 bystanders in New York City who all stood around like eating pizza and just cheering it on. And, you know, people responded just as they should, just freaking out, going, "Aah!" But what it resulted in was laws against not calling the police, which like that's not enforceable. And, you know,
when not helping people, right? Like, yeah, like Samaritan laws. You know, was the season finale of Seinfeld was based on that?
Yeah, and this is before the internet. Imagine if something like that happened now, and you just posted on the internet and it went viral. If everybody chipped in a dollar by, you know, texting something on their cell phone, you have $1 million to send someone after whoever did that to that person and get them.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, I really don't see that as being a problem, because then you have people volunteering money. You have crowdsourcing.
I was just going to say, it was like Indiegogo would be part of the Justice Department that wouldn't be a Justice Department.
There you go. Yeah. And even more than that, the people who were closer to it, the victims and all that, and their insurance companies, they'd be the ones paying for the police services. So the police would be obsessed with pleasing their customers.
They'd be competing.
They wouldn't. Yeah, and competing to do it. They wouldn't be obsessed with getting out of paperwork or fudging the numbers or padding their stats or trying to make it look like they need to get more funding or whatever.
Or passing stupid laws against possessing things.
Yeah, or passing stupid victimless crime laws. All the things that a socialist policing system provides. If socialism doesn't work for everything else, what makes anybody think it would work for police?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you want a glimpse of that, look at communist or socialist police departments. I mean, look at the unbelievable amount of corruption in the Soviet Union, where
if you're looking at socialist police departments, look right here at home.
Yeah, I mean,
look at the goons. What were you saying that now people are comparing the average police officer to the police in Idiocracy?
Yeah,
which is big, you know, dumb and gooned out.
Yeah, when I was reading this libertarian police article parody, I was thinking more of Idiocracy than of Libertarian Paradise. I mean, the ads everywhere, and I think there would be ads everywhere, but police would not need to have product placement on their handcuffs, and they wouldn't have to put a quarter in their gun or their radio. Although the putting the quarter to answer in the radio to answer it, I think was the funniest part of this whole thing.
It was pretty hilarious. Yeah, I liked the Oikos Greek yogurt handcuffs. Okay, so if it was Libpair, he wouldn't be using an American quarter. He'd be using like
a Bitcoin,
a gram of silver,
I like the. I'll pay you a 1/13 of an ounce of gold to stop.
I like that too. Yeah, let's figure out a market rate for your crime stop.
It's about $100 or $150.
Yeah. But, here's something else they bring up. I think the advertising for policing services. I don't know if we've ever talked about that, but I think that's kind of a great idea, right? Because think about how squeamish advertisers are about the people and companies they advertise with. If people make any kind of social faux pas, or Michael Phelps smokes pot out of a bong, and yeah, that's a social normative thing. But imagine if you can't get away with saying something offensive, how could you get away with something like police brutality if your paycheck came from advertisers?
Yeah. I'm really sick of the internet trying to get me to get in on its beefs. And I guess it is, people trying to use shame instead of aggression to get people to change their ways. But, you know, one that I just saw recently was the CEO of the company that makes Firefox, like 10 years before he was the CEO, donated a couple $100 to like an anti-gay marriage initiative in California. And I'm like, and the people want you to stop using Firefox. And I'm like, that'd be like, you know, throw away your crescent wrenches because somebody in the crescent wrench company did something mildly annoying that you don't agree with 20 years ago. I'm like, come on, man. I've got enough.
That'd be like scientists shouldn't use any theories of Einstein because some of his work led to the atomic bomb.
And because he cheated on his wife nonstop. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back with more fiends.
I got enough beefs of my own without having to go co-sign everyone else's.
There you go.
Beef Fest. Come to Beef Fest.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back, just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Brink of Freedom is a community-based network and magazine whose mission is to provide you with the information you need on your walk to freedom. From homesteading and gardening to tactical and firearms, Brink of Freedom provides everything you will need to gain the knowledge to be self-sufficient. If government doesn't like it, Brink of Freedom will cover it. Come share your knowledge and gain the knowledge of industry professionals within the community. Become a premium member and gain access to unlimited content and discounts on products and services from our merchants. Use the discount code FIENDS at brinkoffreedom.net.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. Here on the Fiends, we've been fighting what we call the good fight against the concept, the mindset of the state, that there should be a small group of people who get to decide what other people do and don't do and get to take money from those people in order to force them into doing what they want. Now, is the state sort of starting to crumble? I mean, there's signs here and there. Here's just the latest thing that's actually kind of a chuckle too.
I do want to say that the tagline of the Freedom Fiends blog is "Laughing while Western civilization collapses."
So this is perfect for
this
it.
This is perfect. Right. And you can go to that blog and read the new post I just did on how to be a Freedom Fiends and Michael Dean After Dark and all of our movies torrent cedar, which is a really good thing to do, and it gets you on the golden was the golden floppy disk of redemption. We've moved it over to the golden blockchain of redemption.
Yeah.
But you know, if you want to help out this show and you don't want to spend any money, you don't even want to spend a post 1964 dime, you can go to the Freedom Fiends blog and look at the latest post, or if you hear this later, you can click on the link that says Torrent Club or Torrents on the blog or the Fiend site or Michael Dean After Dark, and we have complete directions on how to do it smoothly and not get in the way of your internet pipe.
Pipe.
So let's laugh. The reason we laugh while Western civilization collapses is it beats being worried about it and going...
Sure does. Sure does.
Yeah.
And I feel like laughter
I ain't no drunken turkey.
Right. I also think that in order to laugh, you have to realize the absurdity of something. So which means you have to know that there's an alternative. You have to know and understand that there's better things out there in order to laugh and ridicule something.
Well, you know, they say that all humor is about death, directly or indirectly, because all humor is laughing at the horrible fact that we're all going to die someday. That's why there's a lot of dark humor, and I like dark humor a lot. So,
yeah, Doctor Strangelove is one of my favorite movies, and it's full of dark humor. That's the extinction of humanity.
It's
as
a dark
one giant
movie
joke.
Too, man. It's black and white, and it's like not well lit intentionally. Everything in it.
Yes. Oh, in the wiki page about it, I found it mind blowing that the crazy general at the beginning, I guess not the craziest, but the one with the folder that says target lists in Megadeths.
Yes.
And at the beginning, he's in a hotel room shacking up with his secretary.
Yeah.
He's just really over the top. Apparently, the actor did not want to play it like that. He thought it was way too over the top what Stanley Kubrick wanted. So what Kubrick would do was tell him, hey, just do it really over the top as a warm-up shot, you know, so you'll be loose and ready for the next shot. But then he actually used the warm-up shots.
Being a good director is basically just tricking people out of doing what their huge egos want them to do. Another thing was Slim Pickens, the guy riding the bomb, is a Western actor. He's in a lot of Westerns, and he thought he was playing a serious role. And
Really?
You know, and that later got him cast in Blazing Saddles, probably. But you know, he became a comic Western actor. But he was a straight up Western actor.
Wow. Yeah, and the acting in that is amazing. But I feel like a lot of it is Kubrick's direction.
Well,
I feel the same way about Clockwork Orange. That the acting is just so intense and so amazing that I think Kubrick's massaging people into giving these performances.
They asked John Wayne to play the character of the guy riding the bomb, and he looked at part of the script and was like, no way, this is anti-American because it's making fun of the military.
Wow. All right, so I've got more on that, but we promised we'd talk about this thing that we were laughing at. So we'll do that, and then we'll come back with more on that film tip right there. But here, check this out. Rogue alcoholic court reporter kept writing, I hate my job, over and over and over again, channeling her – or I guess it was a his. I'll go ahead and read this article from the Post. An alcoholic Manhattan court stenographer went rogue, channeling his inner Shining during a high-profile criminal trial and repeatedly typing, I hate my job,
speaking
I hate my job,
Kubrick.
I hate my job. Yeah, speaking of Kubrick, the bizarre antics by Daniel Kochansky, who has since been fired, wreaked havoc on some 30 Manhattan court cases, sources said. Wow, he's doing
to try
this
to,
for
they
30
had,
cases?
They're legally required to, like, legally interpret what the court reporter writes. And how old school and luddite is it that they still have people typing in phonetics instead of recording it and using character voice recognition?
Right. They don't even have regular keyboards. I mean, they don't have QWERTY keyboards.
They have, like, 28, you know, like 18 keys or something, and they're
just
phonetics.
It looks like an old pipe organ or something in a church.
Yeah. An old squeeze box you'd use with a monkey for begging on the street.
Wow.
The state is old, man. And the state is just like that thing. It's an old appendage that's not, maybe was never needed, but is certainly not needed now. And people need to have a state appendectomy and get it removed.
Yes, it's a vestigial organ. We've said it before. We'll continue to say it.
And it's
until
inflamed.
You get it.
It's an inflamed, vestigial organ. It's an appendix that's burst.
Yes, we need
please read back Appendix A, court reporter.
All right, Feeds. We'll have more
I'm
for
drunk.
You.
I hate my job. Blah, 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 blah,
blah. I imagine that's exactly what the voices in his head were saying.
but more at hour two with the drunken turkeys of the Freedom Fiends.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
All right, Freedom Fiends, thank you for joining us. I'm Nima Vidati. We've got Michael W. Dean in Air Worm One. I'm his ground control here, his tyranny traffic
ground
controller.
Major Nima.
Major Nima. Which runway are we jumping off of here? Are we going to keep on the house stenographer bit?
Yeah, I think we're going to lead with the punchline, which is that if your job is typing down without question, typing down what the minions of the state say, you will go insane. And here's the second example of it. This is an old one, but it's a good one, and it ties in with the one we did in hour one of the lady who just started, the court stenographer, the guy who just started typing, I hate my job, I hate my job. And then because of the way the state's set up, courts scrambled because they were forced to try to interpret it in the cases that they were involved in.
Right. And it's been going on for a long, long time. This guy had been sitting there typing all sorts of stuff like that. I hate my job. Instead of actually doing his job, which his job shouldn't exist in the first place. Technology can do that. Why don't you just buy a bunch of Dragon Dictate apps for your stuff there in the court? But a few months ago, and Michael, you were very keen to remember this and bring it up because it is relevant. A House stenographer in the House of Representatives went on a rant during some, I guess it was the government shutdown vote. She just went off. She jumped on the dais, and there's video of her being escorted off by security. And then apparently somebody caught up with her in the hallway. And here's some audio of her rantings.
Be mocked. He will not be mocked.
Don't touch me.
Come on. He will not be mocked. The greatest deception here is this is not one nation under God. It never was. Had it been, it would not have been. No. It would not have been. Constitution would not have been written by Freemasons. They go against God. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. Praise be to God, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, some people
she
would
kind
say,
of brings up some interesting points, arguments. Though.
Although yeah. The Freemasons around the country of Mr. Burns. What is that? The Simpsons where Mr. Burns runs a casino and basically turns into Howard Hughes and keeps his urine in jars and says, right. And he sees tiny germs on Smithers' face that are all saying, Freemasons run the country.
right. When that's insane in the Simpsons world because no, it's the stonecutters that run the country.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who controls the British pound? Who keeps the metric system down?
We do. Yeah.
Who robs cavefish of their sight? Who rigs every Oscar night? We do. My cat is looking at me like I'm insane and need to be escorted out by tyrants, by security.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because Ben Stone makes that same argument that you can't serve two masters. And I think what he's going for there is if you say or claim that you're a Christian, which a lot of people. Don't you? Isn't that one requirement, I guess, for being in the government is you have to at least pretend like you go
running.
To a Christian church
when you're running. Yeah.
Right. But of course, how can you put God up as the main thing, your main master, be submissive to God and still claim the mantle of deciding what everybody else does and serving the state?
Well, they're
contradictory.
You know, that Tolstoy, who was one of the original Christian anarchists, argues that Jesus was the original anarchist and the disciples were the first people practicing anarchy as a group. Peacefully. And I think there's a lot to that. And I like the idea of Christian anarchy. And I believe that people who are Christian are better Christians if they don't love the state, because the state is antithetical We did an episode called All Governments Break All Ten Commandments All Day, Every
All
Day.
The time.
And if you want to search that on the Freedom Fiend site, that's a really good episode where we went through it commandment by commandment and showed how basically by design, by their mission statement, by everything they do, every government in the world breaks all Ten Commandments all day, every day.
Well, and hey, here's the thing. Jesus did not believe in law enforcement. He didn't. He thought that God was the judge. When they brought the prostitute to him, he didn't inflict the death penalty, which was what was called for by the government and the society at the time. He said, no, you're not going to stone this lady because you're not perfect. You guys all have crimes. And how silly would it be for you to all kill yourselves by stoning? Don't do that. He flipped over the tax collectors, or I guess he called them the money changers, but really they were the tax collectors, flipped over their tables.
Yeah, and in our movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, a good Christian Mama Liberty, a good gun-toting Christian grandma, points out that Jesus was put to death by the government after a fair trial by soldiers and police
who were
just following orders.
Just doing their job. Yeah.
So I think we're done with pointing out how if you are the person who is the secretary for the state, not the secretary of state, they love what they do, but the secretary for the state, the people who sit around and type these dry, insane proceedings all day long tend to go insane, or at least I don't know if that second one really was insane. I don't know if either of them were insane. They were just not doing what was expected.
At the very least, the second one snapped. Even if she was completely rational in general, that was a snap. That was a meltdown. That was a rage.
She was taken for psychological evaluation. So she was considered insane by the state because she started screaming, "You're all liars and Freemasons and not doing God's bidding." Which is not considered doing your job anywhere, probably. But unless your job is being the Freedom Fiends,
Pat Robertson, then maybe.
Yeah. So you know, really, I think that the Freedom Fiends have a healing power. And if you can't afford Obamacare, if your health care got cut, and you have mental health issues, I think you can just lay your hands on the radio and get the healing power of the fiends and listen to us. And you probably won't snap at your job. You'll probably just get a different job, man, one that's honest.
Yeah, man. There you go. Just chuckle. Laugh at all of this ridiculousness. It's good. Laughter is the best medicine, right?
We got some more ridiculousness here. It's Grandpa. Hey, Grandpa, have some government. You voted
for it. How
about a
little bit government, Governor?
It doesn't matter who you voted for. It's you have some government. Oh, you have a nice collection of things. I'll just take that.
I'll be taking that, yes. As George Carlin says, if you vote, you can't complain. You asked for a master, and you got one.
Yeah, voting square, man.
Yeah, so I don't know if this guy voted or not, but he got it anyway. Thousands of artifacts, thousands, removed from rural Indiana home. This is from Indy Star, which I think is the paper there in Indianapolis. I'll go ahead and read the first few graphs here. FBI agents Wednesday removed thousands of cultural artifacts, including American Indian items, from the private collection of a 91-year-old Rush County man who had acquired them over the past 8 decades. An FBI command vehicle and several tents were spotted at the property in rural Waldron, about 35 miles southeast of Indianapolis.
They had to set up a tent city because this guy's property was too vast to fit in their mobile command worm unit.
Yeah, and there's an aerial photograph here, I guess, from the WTHR Chopper 13. Doing some actual good work here. I hope they weren't bragging about how the FBI was so great at their job. They probably were, unfortunately. But it's pretty insane. There's a ton of goon cars here, and literally, it looks like a tent city right outside of this guy's home. I mean, it's a bigger home, but it's not a you couldn't call it a compound unless you were a liar, which I guess you are if you're in the FBI. For a 91-year-old man's trinket collection,
man,
to go in and raid it and steal the stuff this guy's been collecting for his whole life, 8 decades? That means this is stuff he saw and was interested in when he was 10 years old. Imagine something that you've treasured for your whole life and you're at the end of your life. I mean, what's he got, a decade, maybe two if he's going to break a record? And the FBI comes in and just takes it from you forcefully I don't understand the reason. What's the reason here? Does it say?
No, just because basically he didn't have receipts for it. You know, it's that thing of like, oh, you've got $10,000 cash. That might be drug money. We're taking it. You have millions of dollars of trinkets from around the world that we want to return to socialist dictators in Africa and mail to them. We're going to take that.
Yes, some Democratic Republic of the West African tyranny is going to say they're going to get a trinket in the mail of some kind of
wiener
large
dog.
Appendage wiener dog and go, what? Why is the FBI sending me a fake thing? Hold on. Here's a paragraph that's enlightening. I said, why did they do this? I guess the reporter asked them. And so Robert A. Jones, special agent in charge of the Indianapolis FBI office, would not say at a news conference specifically why the investigation was initiated, but he did say the FBI had information about Miller's collection and acted on it by deploying its – hold on. Wait for it. By deploying its art crime team. You heard that correctly. The FBI's art crime team.
Yeah, like somebody – an organization that's supposed to exist to like get back, you know, Van Goghs that are stolen from the poodle crowd in West Hollywood. But man –
I just didn't know such a thing exists. There's such a thing as art crime. I've heard of thought crime. Now there's art crime.
Art crime is usually high end thefts, you know, like where they have to get the stuff back, you know, because they're actually paid to do it. And if they don't do it, the people that that got ripped off probably have, you know, tea with the mayor. So they can apply a lot of pressure. See.
Okay.
So look at this list of political parties around the world, and speaking of doublespeak, you know, a lot of these countries, this is pointed out really well in that movie Lord of War about the weapons salesman, which is kind of a libertarian movie. I kind of dig it in a way. He's sort of libertarian. He sort of plays by his own rules, and it's based on a real person. But he points out that the most war-torn countries have the most democratic, like, fluffy names. Like, the Democratic People's Republic of, you know, they always have these, like these paradises where everyone is a fair player. And it's really like the Democratic Party of one guy and his 90 wives and his soldiers stealing everything from everybody and murdering them. It's kind of like the United States on steroids.
Like that warlord in Dirty Wars told Jeremy Scahill, of course the Americans help us. They're the war masters. Yeah. Where do you think we learned how to be violent warlords?
And, you know, they say – people always say if you want to live without a government, move to Somalia. It's like Somalia is a failed socialist state with warlords and political parties installed by JSOC of the United States government. And here's some of the political parties now that have been installed largely with help from the U.S. in Somalia. The Peace and Development Party, the United Somali Parliamentarians, the Somali Green Party,
the Green Leaf for Democracy.
Yeah.
The Justice, Democratic Green Party.
The Justice and Welfare Party. Yeah, man. The United People's Democratic Party. So if you want democracy, move to Somalia.
There you go. We'll have more feeds when we get back from this quick trip to the market. Stay with us, folks.
Democracy leads to grandpas getting their stuff stolen. That's what I say.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. ShinyBadges.com.
Yes. Bring us in, Nima.
I will, but we're supposed to wait till after 10 seconds in case liners cut us off.
Teaching hospital.
Now we can talk about the radio show called The Freedom Fiends, of which I and Michael W. Dean are hosts. Man, I know we were supposed to move on, but there were some more things I read about the FBI raiding this 91-year-old man's home and stealing all of his possessions, because the FBI says they wanted to determine whether some of the items might be illegal to possess privately.
I want to determine whether
steal all of your stuff, and then we'll go through it and decide if any of it's illegal.
I think someone should determine whether everything the FBI owns was acquired lawfully.
Well, there was this hilarious story I read a few months ago of there was unmarked police cars, and they were at some kind of conference, some kind of regional law enforcement conference. No, it wasn't Porkfest. I don't think it was in New Hampshire. But some tow truck guys saw that these unmarked police cars were in a tow space, and they actually got a complaint from the owner of the parking lot, and the tow company towed the unmarked police cars. And then the police went down there in force to get the cars back, and like every tow truck company, they have to have a bill. They have to have proof that you are the owner of the car. They're not just going to give out a car because you say it's your car. And since it's the state's car, there was no proof of ownership. The cops couldn't be. They couldn't produce anything. They just said, "Well, we're the cops." And the tow truck people were like, "Well, you got to show us proof of ownership. We got title something." It just goes to show that the state doesn't really own anything. That's all unowned property, man, because they never acquired it legitimately in the first place. I mean, here was a paperwork thing. Yeah, but in reality, it was truer than any of the parties there knew. And I think the cops ended up arresting the tow truck guys, and they ended up suing the cops. Yeah, I don't know where the court case is.
They'll probably tow our cars to like show their power for us making a joke about this, you know? Because they would, if we were more popular, probably.
Yeah. The cops would get us towed. Oh man, I had some beef with tow truck guys when I was a pizza guy. I never got towed. I had a guy try to tow me once, and I got out and sort of say, "Hey man, what are you doing? Come on, I'm invited here. I'm an invited guest. Somebody wants me to bring him pizza. Don't tow me."
Yeah. So, yeah, government square, man, and not just the U.S. government. So, here are the names of some of the parties in other countries that are not not. This is from Venezuela, countries that are very much not democratic, and well, I guess they are technically, but you know, they have all these like enlightened sounding names for the countries and for their political parties. The New Majority Socialist Party, that doesn't sound very free. The Christian Democratic Party, the Party for Democracy, the Social Democrat Radical Party, the Broad Social Movement Party, Broad Social Movement, the Christian Left, the United Party of Venezuela, man, the United People's Democratic Party.
Here's my favorite, the Everybody Wins Independent Movement.
Where's that?
In parties joining PSUV on the United Socialist Party of Venezuela.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. Yes,
that sounds very socialist.
That's as honest a name for a socialist party as I've ever heard.
It's more like everybody loses to the same extent, though.
Right. Or everybody wins a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
Everybody wins a meager existence.
Yes.
Yes. There were some other bad ones in other countries. You also sent me the list of political parties in Chile.
Zimbabwe. Zimbia, the Patriotic Front. They're patriotic. Zimbabwe. The Zimbabwe African National Union Patriotic Front Movement for Democratic Change. Man, that's
wow.
It's probably
that does
shorter.
Not fit on a bumper sticker. Yes. Vote for this long string of nonsense buzzwords.
Yeah. Vietnam. The United Socialist Party of Venezuela. Broad coalition member led by Green. Okay, the Broad Front in Uruguay. That just sounds nice. The Broad Front.
The front of a broad. Yeah,
the United Kingdom has the Conservative Party and the Liberal Democrats, and they're both tyrants. They both want to take away all your guns. Yeah. They already took away all your guns, both of them. They want to take away all of your internets and control them.
They have porn restrictions now in England for the internet. That's mind-blowing.
How
can you have an internet? Certain kinds.
Kinds of consenting adult porn. Anything that involves, like, you know, I don't even want to get there on the radio because it's self-censored here because we're the show that gets to be on stations that kick off other libertarian shows for talking about that kind of stuff. So we're clean. We're clean and boring, but yeah.
Well, it's a speech thing, right? I mean, the state shouldn't be involved. Any state shouldn't be involved in any kind of media, thoughts, images, audio. It's not their responsibility.
Syria has
no matter if you think it's distasteful or not.
Syria has the People's Will Party. Man. and the National Progressive Front and the Syrian Socialist National Party, but the People's Will Party. I really doubt they back the people's will in Syria.
Well, my question would be, which peoples? We're not some homogenous group.
Yeah, and
people always think that, you know, but it's not true. More individualism when we get back from the market here on the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
Listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is some Squisklar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. A collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
MeowBit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. MeowBit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address and our free software, MeowBit. Go to meowbit.com. That's MeowBit.com.
It's the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. If you enjoy what we're talking about, go ahead and go to freedomfiends.com. You can listen to any of our shows. You can also check it out on your favorite peer-to-peer torrent site. And torrent the fiends, too. Michael, tell them how they can torrent the fiends.
Yeah, you can go to the freedomfiends.com website, and up on the right is a link that says torrents or torrent club or whatever it is it says this week. And you can basically help the fiends and help Liberty by donating some of your unused computing power when you're not using it to share it and spread it and keep it drone-proof. And this is awesome because if we got taken down by the government, our stuff would still be out there.
Yeah, and if you are more into the physical manifestations of things, you can buy Freedom Fiends buttons. The board op here was just telling me that he's got one clipped to his visor or near his, I guess, rearview mirror, and he says it's a magical talisman that keeps the police state away.
Is it the one that says state speech is hate speech?
The worms button.
Worms, yes.
Worms.
So
yes.
We're talking about how square government is all over the world. And the fluffy, we love everybody names that these tyrannical governments, political parties give themselves. Like the Popular Front for Change and Liberation is the parent party of the People's Will Party in Syria. And, you know, is it really the will of all the people in a country that's divided by different warring factions of Muslims? Which one is it, you know? And, you know, and you think about that, like, oh, those crazy Muslims with their different factions. And it's like, what's any different between that and, like, Democrats and Republicans?
Yeah, or different sects of Christianity, like raiding David Koresh because he believes different things than you, and burning a bunch of black women and children to death because you don't like what he preaches, or because he has guns. You should hate it either way.
And then here's the thing of like what's wrong with believing a controlled state-controlled mainstream media. The media said that Koresh was racist, and that's one of the reasons they needed to go after him was because he hated black people. He was surrounded by black people and had them in his church and considered them his flock and loved them and looked after them, man.
Right.
And a bunch of white people and a bunch of babies. And, you know, he was all about the people, and he had guns to protect himself. and he didn't want to just roll over and do what the state said. What did the state want him to do? Allow them to inspect or take his guns, or what was it? I mean, I don't even know what their plan was.
I don't even know what their initial thing was. From what I understand is, yeah, they came out. It was supposedly some kind of gun violation or investigation. I don't know who started the fighting in that initial thing, but the ATF lost. And then I think they were just so upset that they didn't get to raid this guy successfully on try one that they called in the big guns and ended up burning everybody to death after the siege.
And then lying about it and covering it up, and you know, nobody went to jail, and yeah, it's horrible.
Right. And there's audio you can find. I've heard it on the Scott Horton show. There's audio of people inside, like one of the, I don't think it was David Koresh, but it was one of the officials, I guess, in the church, calling the sheriff, and he knows him like on a first name basis. I mean, this is like smaller town Texas. Everybody knows each other. He's calling the local sheriff saying, call these guys off. They're shooting at us. There's women and children here. What are they doing? And the local sheriff's department can't do nothing about it. These are the Fed goons, man. They come to your town and they stomp with their jackboots.
And the average American, if they even know about the Waco siege, they're like, oh, well, those people must have been bad because I heard they were bad and the government brought in the big guns. They must have been doing something horrible in there.
It's that fatal premise that's the foundation of so many people's civic worldview because of the nonstop indoctrination of public schools, and more so than that, I'd say movies and TV.
I mean TV shows called Law and Order, where most of what the plot is they sit around cussing like, oh, that damn Constitution and Bill of Rights, we'll never catch these bad guys.
Right.
And like going, and a very frequent thing on there is one of the characters, the main male character, I forget his name, but you know, violating people's constitutional right, like being in an interrogation room and just like choking somebody up against the wall. And then his partner's like, come on, there's cameras in here. And it's not, come on, you're violating his rights. It's, come on, there's cameras in here.
Come on, we're going to get caught.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
And people, they idolize those people, and the stories are set up that way to where you view the state actors as the heroes. And I guess it's not just the content itself, but the advertisements, especially in sports. Every other ad, what was the Navy's slogan? A global force for good. Ugh. Really? As you're launching cruise missiles into villages of innocent women and children, that's a good thing.
The one that worked against them that they pulled was the National Guard, an army of one, because that it bred too much individualism. They didn't like that one, and they pulled it.
I thought that was the army itself. Was that just the National Guard?
The National Guard, but
an army of one.
Yeah, so you shouldn't watch TV shows that have cops and the government as the heroes, unless you're as evolved as I, to where you can engage in suspension of statism. And I want to thank all the fiends that sent me all the wonderful show suggestions, because I gave some parameters. I said I wanted something on streaming on Netflix that had, you know, seven or more seasons, so I could watch it one after the other, that took place around now, didn't have any magic. And I've been watching House, which Bill Buport criticized as, if you've seen one, you've seen them all, to the point where literally I think there are beats in the show. Like at 18 minutes, the person has to flatline and everyone runs in. And, you know, it always starts with people doing something happy as a family and then something horrible happens. And it's usually there's a red herring. Like, you see the kid at the bike watching the bike race, and the kid pulls out, he's having an asthma attack, and his dad, like the mom sends the dad to run back to the car and get the inhaler, and you're like, oh, the kid's gonna have an asthma attack. And then it's like, nope, one of the bike racers crashes and like has a fit or something. And then, you know, what I've learned from House is that this is the unrealistic part, is that basically there are walk-in clinics in New Jersey where people with no health insurance can go in and get diagnosed by a team of the best doctors in the country who devote all their time for days to this one case. And they always get it wrong and misdiagnose it and accidentally almost kill the person, then find out what it is later. But it's a good show, and I like the hero. He's basically an anarchist. There's one point where he's treating a senator, and he's basically calling the senator a liar. And the senator's like, oh, you must be, because the senator's a Democrat. He's like, oh, you must be a Republican. And he's like, no, I just hate people who lie for a living. And at one point he says he doesn't vote. He also is a he's addicted to Percocet or Vicodin,
right?
And he's like tries to get off a few times, but he never does in the whole thing. Like, he's basically a hero who's a drug addict who's extremely functional and valued by society. And in one episode, he takes LSD and suffers no consequences. I've never seen that on TV. That's like, how'd they get away with that on network TV, man?
Well, didn't the DEA get mad about it? About his use, since he's kind of the protagonist, about his use with little to no consequences of drugs.
I know that the DEA, I think it's either the DEA and or the Albuquerque Police Department worked in conjunction with making Breaking Bad, but the guys in Breaking Bad suffer consequences and he dies at the end, spoiler alert. But he dies happy and leaves a bunch of money to his family secretly, so. And Jesse gets away. Jesse gets away. So there's, but he had consequences. He was locked in a cage by a bunch of neo-Nazis.
Well, and the love of his life gets
killed,
taken out
while he watches. Yeah,
that was
the most horrible scene in the whole thing, man. Because all those other people knew what they were getting into, you know. And I guess she knew what she was getting into, but she was clean. She was innocent, you know. She was clean drug wise, but she was clean of all the. The horror, you know, and everybody like, you know, Walt's wife, even, you know, she got deeply involved in it. She was working with Walt in it.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to.
She helped to commit fraud to keep them from getting caught and all sorts of things like that. Jesse's previous girlfriend died a horrible death, too. That was one of the other scenes in the series that
I had no problem with that. That woman was horrible, and she was blackmailing Walt. But the other girlfriend later was
innocent. Well, you don't think she was just sick? I mean, she was getting clean. She was going to meetings, and then all of a sudden she sort of relapsed and kind of went psycho about it.
But I don't know. The point where she said to Walt, you know, give this money now, which Walt should not have been withholding. It wasn't his money. But he was playing dad. But when she said, like, I'm going to go to the news and expose you as this teacher who's cooking meth and you'll be in jail and disgraced nationally, it just was really I don't like people holding guns to people's heads, man.
Yeah, she was bluffing, though. It was a power play, because if she would have done that to Walt, she would have gotten rid of her and Jesse's gravy train.
Yeah, yeah, it was bluffing. And it was like she was kind of a money hoe. She was like, you know, she was kind of like ready to ditch Jesse at one point, and then she learned he had a bunch of money. And then all of a sudden, and then like the next scene, they're like talking about
dollar signs in her
eyes. We're going to run away. We're going to get clean. We're going to go start a little art store in Venezuela, and you could be an airline pilot. And all of a sudden, they had life plans because there was money, you know?
Right.
It's not through sickness and through health, and not through rich and through poor. It's through rich.
Right.
That'd be her vows if they got married. As long as you're rich.
Well, you were saying that there's government agencies involved or as consultants for Breaking Bad?
I believe there were. Which, you know, I'm wondering if the backlash is like that show has made Albuquerque law enforcement laughing stocks, because the whole show, the premise of it is like they get away with it under their nose for the whole time. And, you know, all sorts of horrible things have been happening in Albuquerque and New Mexico lately, with like police taking people to be anally raped by doctors for thinking they have drugs.
Yeah, more than one instance, like several people, and like killing, this was some kind of policy.
Yeah, and killing a homeless person in Albuquerque, shooting an unarmed homeless person, and then there was a demonstration against it, and the cops showed up and gooned out and pepper sprayed people and beat them up recently.
Yeah, I remember seeing.
I wonder if there's. I mean, it doesn't excuse it, but I wonder if there's some causal effect of like Breaking Bad has just made New Mexico police or Albuquerque police get laughed at so much that they're like, "We'll show you if you can laugh at us."
Yeah. Well, again, too, with Breaking Bad, if there are government consultants and they were trying to show the consequences of drug dealing on people who are innocent, like Jesse's second girlfriend, and all the other innocent victims, the little kid who rolls up on the train and gets shot for no reason just because he was there, and the guy made a judgment call.
The train. That's what you're calling his nickname? The train?
No, it was when they were trying to steal all the precursor from
that,
the train.
The train. I thought you meant the kid that came up and shot the drug dealer, Jesse's boy.
I thought
his name was Train. No, that train thing. Yeah.
Train's a good gang name too. But we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends in just a little bit.
On the Freedom Train.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out CreamyRadioAudio.com. That's CreamyRadioAudio.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is Nima Vidati from the Freedom Fiends. We've got Michael W. Dean on the other end of the intertubes, choking like a turkey goblin, I guess you would say. Now, it is the bottom of hour two, and you know what that means.
Preach it, Brother Beavis.
Yes, it is the Tweak in Review. That means it's a stop here. A stop on our tracks for the Underground Railroad to Libpair. That's our new tagline for the Freedom Fiends. Michael came up with it on the spot. Kudos to you, Michael. Yeah, that means the Underground Railroad away from the state, but we don't mean like going from Wyoming to Colorado so you can have some weed freedom. No, we mean getting out of that mindset of thinking, well, I think the Constitution is the best darn thing we ever made, and we should all have fealty to it. No, I don't think so. So we started with Libertarian Police Department, LPD. Yes, with the ding ding and the law and order and all that kind of stuff. It was hilarious. A New Yorker article where the guy has to put a quarter into his police radio so he can hear it, and he has to use Oikos Greek yogurt brand or sponsored by handcuffs, and asks the criminals how they would like to pay him. What's the fair market rate for your arrest, sir? Which is kind of a tongue-in-cheek, hilarious kind of parody on what some people think Libpair would look like. What they miss, of course, the giant elephant in their room.
In their Greek yogurt.
In their Greek yogurt, is that obviously you'd have a giant group. Well, you'd have a victim. You know, in a crime, you'd have a victim, and the victim would have a big incentive in order to pay law enforcement or just property crime prevention. You know, it wouldn't even be law enforcement in that kind of a sense to pay them in order to bring you justice. And you'd have competing people doing this. And as Michael brought up, you'd have people crowdfunding these kinds of investigations. You'd have people who would hear about horrible atrocities and crimes and see these victims in when the news media would be playing its proper role of bringing bad stuff to light. You'd have people chipping in. I mean, whenever there's a natural disaster now, people do that. What makes us think if there was some kind of human-created disaster that people wouldn't do the same thing? And they do. And Michael brought up some examples. Then we moved on to court stenographer snapping. This was a nice example of the way the current criminal justice, and by that I mean a justice system that's criminal, how it's kind of fallen apart at the seams here. We've got court stenographer who just snapped, started writing, "I hate my job, I hate my job, I hate my job," and apparently he's been doing this for like 30 cases, like several years. And now they can't actually go back and look at what was said in court itself. Michael brought up the point that it's a very Luddite kind of thing too, that we're still doing it this way. I mean, we can't record audio. The NSA can record all of our phone calls, but the government can't pay for audio and courtroom recording. Just seems kind of silly. And we tied that in with a while back, a House of Representatives stenographer also snapping and going off and getting escorted out by security and saying some stuff that a lot of people would see as crazy. And yeah, she did snap, but she brought up the point that you can't serve two masters. And I think she's probably right. If you claim to be a Christian, you probably shouldn't give all your loyalty to some man-made law and the state and kick God off that throne, as Ben Stone would say, and have idol worship of the Washington Monument.
Yeah, and if Jesus can't judge somebody for a nonviolent so-called crime like being a hooker, who are you to do it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen, brother. Amen. And it's getting worse and worse. And I think this is helping people to go insane. This is helping the state to fall apart at the seams, is how blatant the state is getting at its thefts and its harassment of people. The FBI raided a 90-year-old man, 91-year-old man, who had been collecting trinkets and things his whole life. His whole life, he would find something awesome and amazing and worth something in his eyes and probably to other people's, and he would keep it. And apparently he kept it nice. He had thousands of these. It was almost museum-quality stewardship of all this stuff. The FBI raided his house, set up a tent city, stole all of it. And their statements are that they're going to go through it all and figure out if any of it was illegal.
I'm sure they set up the tent city without permits, too.
They don't need no stinking
permit. You try
permit.
Setting up a tent city without a permit and see what happens.
Yeah.
They'll take your tents, man. Yeah, we're not your grandpa's radio, but if your grandpa gets robbed by the state, we'll talk about it and defend him.
There you go. Join us tomorrow, fiends.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFeens.com.